Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, Reiki Master, Energy Teacher, and author of my newest book in a trilogy, A New Life Awaits, Spirit-Guided Insights to Support Global Awakening, which shares stories and messages from Spirit that show us our challenges right now at the present time and always in the physical world are not merely economic, political, or societal, but often a deep disconnect from our deep inner soul wisdom or intuition. We welcome today Stephen Shaw, author of Divine Love and They Walk Among Us, as well as many other titles, who began his spiritual journey early in life, including many unusual experiences, including clairvoyance. Hello, Stephen, and it's a pleasure to have you here, as you have searched into every nook and cranny to find the keys to success, fulfillment, peace, and bliss, and the answers to age-old questions. Who are we? What is life really about? And how do we know happiness? So welcome.
Hey, Cheryl. It's nice to meet you.
Yes. Stephen, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my amazing authors and I seek to bring the duality of life into emerging with oneness, unity, and awareness that we are spiritual beings having a physical life and are all unique and on personal journeys to explore self, the collective consciousness, and to foster greater love, compassion, learning, and fulfillment for our life journey. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Stephen Shaw, author of Divine Love and They Walk Among Us and other enlightening topics, will share the diverse, potent healing technologies he has explored from shamans in Africa, Peru, and Mexico, and Tibet, and Bhutan, helping us find answers to questions like who are we really? And what is the true nature of life? And how can we learn to live in deep fulfillment, love, and peace? Stephen, I always love to ask my intuitive and creative guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, a place, or maybe an event that may have alerted them or others around them to the lifestyle and interests they might embrace as an adult. For within the heart and soul of each child is the destiny and life plan, and it often begins to show itself early in the human journey. So think back.
Well, that's quite interesting because I was born clairvoyant, and I had experiences from a very young age of being able to know things that I shouldn't have known, to sense other people's emotions and to have precognition, and also I was seeing beings of light coming and going, which I didn't understand, and no one could tell me what they were, and I just called them the good guys because I could feel they were lovely and kind. But in terms of destiny, I think it's interesting because while I was clairvoyant and having these incredible experiences, I also had a mother who was severely bipolar, and my home life was quite unthreatening and unstable. So it did set the scene in a way that's probably not obvious at first sight, in that because of the difficulty with my mother, I began to search after about 5 years old when she left and she was no longer with me. I began to search for this meaning of life and this what is love and how to acquire deep fulfillment in life. So this combination of these radical clairvoyant experiences and having a really challenging mother and a difficult childhood, actually, exactly as you're saying, it kind of propelled me down the path to spend many, many years searching all across the world to find the answers to fulfillment, to success, and to deep joy.
Yeah, my beginning was similar, very similar. You also mentioned that your father was very pragmatic or methodical, and he set up a different environment for you than your mother. So he was part of also the reason that you wanted to dig into all aspects of life. You were in the military, the university, you were married, running a business. Then you traveled to all places. You had many questions. I had many questions also. And I studied philosophy and science and education. And I really wanted just to know, What is life all about? Who are we? Who are we, really? So it was, our beginning was similar, but it took us on a great journey. And we have met many, many people, and we have many of the answers now to those questions that we sought. So let's get on to tell us about some of the fabulous experiences or trips to such mystical places such as Africa, Peru, Tibet, and what you found to be similar or different in each place you explored.
Well, everywhere I went, I was seeking the ultimate and the best of the teachers. So it took me, I traveled the world for 10 years after I got my education in psychology and so forth. And you're right about mentioning my father. He was a very pragmatic, skeptical person and an atheist. So it was a blessing in that he taught me to be very skeptical and not gullible at all. And also he pushed me really hard to find what I was seeking for myself. So when I traveled around the world, I would never settle on the first teacher or the second teacher. I always wanted to go up the chain and find the best secrets and the most power I could find. And I found that what I call these apex teachers are the ones that are more secretive and more quiet, and they don't advertise their services. Now, the top teachers in Tibet and Peru and different places, they don't have tourist retreats, they don't have Google, they're not on social media, and they're kind of more secretive and protective of their knowledge. And so I discovered that in order to meet these people, you first have to prove yourself and go through quite a few tests. And the tests had a lot of commonalities. They wanted to see that you are a person of deep compassion and honesty and integrity and kindness. Because the top masters, the apex masters, they don't want to share their radical secrets and powers with someone who's going to use it for ill, to harm other
Yes.
people. Yeah, and I think that that's really noble, and I really appreciated that. It did mean, however, that it took me a long time to pass these tests and to sit through the different teachers. But I was lucky enough to find apex teachers in Tibet and Bhutan and Peru and Africa and all different places. Now, what's really fascinating, because you asked about commonalities, is all of them operate from this place of deep and radical love. And
Yes.
this is something that took me a long time to understand, because before I get to things like powers and healing modalities, I had to really understand the love thing. And the love thing is challenging, especially if you have a difficult background, maybe an absent mother or trauma or abuse. And I mean, we all have different things. And the love, I mean, I remember sitting in Tibet at the feet of an incredible lama, and he said to me that to truly understand love, you have to have radical acceptance and appreciation of yourself first. And that was an incredible thing for me, because I was always thinking that I need to love other people more, be more kind. But he was saying to me that if you do not learn how to truly and deeply accept every aspect of who you are and appreciate and celebrate yourself fully, and that means your body and your mind and your soul, you cannot truly love other people. And that was fundamental to me and profound.
Absolutely
So,
true. Yeah.
yeah. So, I mean, I had to move through that first, and I had to do a lot of healing, a lot of learning to love myself, truly deeply love myself. And I remember also a couple of years later dealing with another lama in Tibet, and he said to me something really profound as well. He said to me, there's a step that goes beyond mindfulness and presence. He said it's about really radically learning to own who you are. So I was trying to accept who I am and growing internally. And he said to me, if you can practice ownership, in other words, you don't just accept who you are, you actually own it. And ownership can mean, your body, your gender, your sexuality, the way your mind works, your emotions. Some of us are more introverts, some of us are more extroverts. And it's coming to this point of full ownership of who you are. Because you are born a certain way. Genetics shape you, the way your brain is wired shapes you, hormones shape you, your culture shapes you, your parents, your childhood. There's so many things that shape who you are. How do you want to fight against all these experiences that have shaped you throughout your life? If you can start by truly owning every aspect of your life, every part of who you are, body, mind, and spirit, then you will start to find true liberation and true love, and then you'll start to be able to affect other people in dramatic and profound ways. Now, I thought that was something amazing, and I still tell my clients all the time to practice practice ownership on a daily and a weekly basis.
Well, yes, we have to come to terms with who we are physically and who we are as a soul, and to know that many of the physical aspects of our ego-centered mind are not reality, but our soul. That's another story. So when we get deeper into the connection of our energy life and we merge that with our physical life, we find peace, we find comfort, we find purpose in all the aspects of what we're trying to develop here in a physical life. It's a way to refine our soul energy and to have more gratitude for life and everyone else and ourself, and to grow. And your teacher showed you that. My teacher showed me that. Questions led me to that reality, that we are more than our physical beings. We're actually souls having this physical life. And in your book, you write in your book, I love the book, They Walk Among Us. You talk about a guide, a guardian angel who loves the woman he's here to care for. She doesn't see him, but she feels him. And then he reveals himself to her, and they actually have a love story. And he has gone beyond what he's supposed to do as a guardian angel, and there are certain problems. So everyone wants to create their best life, but they don't often have the right tools. So how do we shift consciousness to manifest our best life? Now, in the book, they did. They both shifted their consciousness to be with each other, a being from above and an earth being. And I just loved the story. I just loved it so much.
Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite books, because I put all the teachings about profound self-love and about profound intimacy into a story that is actually a supernatural romance. And it is, I mean, it sounds strange, I guess, but it kind of made me cry writing the book, because it was so beautiful. The whole book was about different aspects of love and so many different dimensions of love, and it was so beautiful. And I think for anyone just reading a book, it'll change you, because it is just about love in all its forms. It's so beautiful. And in terms of changing us, I don't think we can underestimate the power of love. I want to talk about the spiritual things. I want to talk about meditation and prayer and gratitude. There's so many things that change us, but without the core of love, we cannot have anything, because spirituality without love is nothing more than, say, religion. There's so many people who talk about religion, talk about New Age woo-woo, but they do not really understand deep, radical, supportive, non-judgmental love. So love has always got to be the foundation, and that's why I wrote that particular book. But notwithstanding that, there are many profound and powerful techniques that are taught by the apex teachers around the world. And obviously one of them is meditation. A lot of people meditate. I was meditating since I was 11 years old, and at that time it served me. It was extremely useful. And again, it might sound strange, but I don't meditate anymore. I believe there's a lot more power in prayer, for example, which links back to the book you've just mentioned.
They're very connected, prayer and meditation. But you write about
very
shifting
connected
consciousness. And you wrote this. Stephen, you write this. And this is important for our listeners to get. It's all in the perception. And you wrote this. When you look at the sky, you see rain clouds and sunshine. No one is asking you to ignore the rain clouds. Instead, you might observe them. You acknowledge their presence. Then you settle your gaze on sunny, light blue sky. Is it healthier to stare and brood at the cold rain, or to absorb and celebrate the glorious sun? Is it useful to engage in negative gossip or supportive dialogue? Is it beneficial to dwell on struggles and hardships, or to focus on success and milestones? If you sow seeds of negativity, you slowly create a rotten tree. If you sow seeds of positivity, you slowly create a luscious tree. Positivity is partly a chosen attitude and partly a matter of perspective. And here's the word, enough. I am enough. I have enough. I have everything. Many people focus on scarcity. I am not good enough, and believe abundance is the answer. Oh, but it is clearly not. The answer is simply enough. I am enough. I have enough. That is such an important concept. Simple, but so many people are just not able to focus their attention on that beautiful, beautiful thought. So
thank you for reading that, because that's the last book you just read from was called Divine Love, and that book I wrote in a way that was like, it's like poetry from the soul.
Yes.
The whole book is just full of teachings. It's unlike my other books, it's not a story containing teachings. That is just pure teachings. In a way, it's almost poetry. And it is my 12th book and the last book I wrote. So it was a culmination of all my wisdom and all my teachings and everything I've been through around the world. I mean, absolutely fantastic. You know, it is about perspective. And again, I mean, spirituality is one thing, but without a perspective, you're not going to go very far. When I was sitting again in Tibet, and that's one of the places I profoundly enjoyed that place. It was so beautiful. And I remember a Lama saying to me that, and again, this is perspective. He said to me, instead of trying to battle with your negative thoughts and emotions, he said, why don't you just ignore them for a second and then search in your body for a good feeling, or search for a great memory, or search for something positive in your life, and then put your attention on that, fully focusing on it and immersing into it, and then allow that feeling or memory to expand, and then give gratitude. And that was like mind-boggling, because, you know, we all have negative thoughts that come up every so often, and emotions of life.
Yeah.
It happens. No one's perfect. But instead of fighting these things and struggling with them, we can just switch it out completely by looking for, and there's always positive things, somewhere in your brain, your body, your mind, somewhere out there, there's beautiful things to focus on. And we put our mind in there and fully immerse in it, and then add some gratitude. I mean, it's a radical tool. It works so well. In fact, I tell all my clients to put this phrase somewhere where they can see it. For me, I always stick it on the fridge. And it's a simple phrase, and it says, I choose gratitude over negativity.
Yes. Very good.
Yeah.
You know what I tell my clients? I tell them
50%
of the thoughts that come in on any given day are negative. They're coming in from a universe of souls that are all around us, and we're receiving so much downloading, every one of us, not only mediums, of information. And I say, don't embrace it. Send it away. Like, say, I don't engage this. I wait for something more purposeful and loving to come to me to put my attention on. And I teach my students to do that. Exactly what you just said. We are surrounded by so much, and we do have a choice to choose that which will fulfill us and bring us happiness. Happiness is the result of the life we live. It's not something we're actually, you know, can find out there in the world, in the physical world. It doesn't exist in the physical world. It exists within us from living a purposeful life in seeking these spiritual awarenesses, which we all have within us. It's just sometimes we're distracted by the outside world. So trusting your heart and listening to intuition is definitely important. So how do we begin to be aware of this inner wisdom?
Well, I believe that everyone is intuitive. It's part of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all intuitive in our hearts and in our minds. And when we grow up, our parents act in certain ways, or society acts in certain ways, we sometimes shut down that little voice that tells us how to behave and how to act. Yet it's all inside of us. So the more we can be still and listen to the little voice, it will guide us. I believe that we are guided both by intuition and by our brains. I think we have knowledge and skills we must acquire to learn to live effectively and to learn how to have good relationships, but also learn how to use the intuitive part of ourselves, which mostly is located in your heart. So I think this is important for all people. But I also think there's a kind of a secret way to boost this. And I have a routine that I follow faithfully, and I have for many years now. And that is, every single morning, the first thing I do in the morning, I jump out of bed, I have a shower. So when I'm in the shower, and this is great for people who are super busy, maybe their parents are working long hours and they don't have time, but while I'm in the shower, I call in the beings of light. You can call them angels or guardian spirits or beings of light, whatever suits you and your particular beliefs. But the thing is, because I'm clairvoyant and I can see in these different worlds, I know these beings are around us all the time. And
yes.
they want to help you. They want to bring you opportunities. They want to guide you. But they'll only do it if you invite them. They don't push on you because you have free will. So when I jump in the morning shower, and this takes me, you know, the shower takes me 5 minutes, while I'm in there, I'm praying to these beings and saying, right, I surrender my life to your guidance. Cross my path, the right people, the right events, the right circumstances, helping to walk in love. And it's amazing how many synchronicities follow every day and every week when you do this. So for me, it's a powerful secret weapon. Whether you are religious or new age or whatever, it doesn't matter what your belief is, but just inviting these beings to guide and lead your life. And then I follow that, because that takes 2 minutes, I follow that with gratitude, both for myself, some quality I have, then gratitude for somebody else, like my wife, who's amazing, by the way, and then I give some gratitude for something in life. And the whole process is probably taking me 4 minutes, which coincides with my morning shower, and it kind of sets the energy of the whole day, not just mentally, but spiritually. You know, the actual energy around you is so calm and peaceful, and you can feel this synchronicity happening to you. It's amazing.
Yes, I'm like you. I'm doing it all day long. I am in contact with these guides and teachers and loved ones, and I'm thanking them, and I'm asking them for help for myself and other people, and to give the best of our love into the world, which so desperately needs it now. And you write about an intriguing secret, a profound key to your happiness, and you discuss the difference between guilt and shame. And on several shows where people have discussed shame with me, I have said to them, I don't know the emotion of shame. I have no shame, because I know, and you write this, guilt is when you do something bad, and it's healthy because you can correct it, right? But shame is when, I really wanted to discuss this, because I don't think people understand this. I didn't even understand it to describe it this way, but I understood I never had shame. So shame is thinking you are bad, I am bad. And it's very destructive. It's a lie. It's a form of control. You must never accept shame, ever, because shame is like a poison. And I somehow, on some level, knew that, but you described it that way. And I'm very thankful for you for that description, because now I can explain it a different way to those who may be suffering. And when they say to me they feel shame, no, you don't need to feel shame. You need to feel love for your gift of life and those guides and teachers around you who support you. And if something is wrong, if you feel you've done something wrong, you can apologize. You can make it right. And you talk about self-empathy, self-acceptance, self-compassion, soothing self-talk, and self-awareness to remind you that you alone are creating your reality. But we do have a life plan that we have to walk this journey of living in a physical world with our guides and teachers around us to support us, and we're really never alone. Now let's go on to, everybody professes to be looking for deep self-love and loving intimate relationship, but so many fail at this. In your book, you write, in They Walk Among Us, what's life about anyway? The girl is talking here. Sure, I'm young, but the world never made sense to me. Everyone competing for resources when there is an abundance on our planet. A selfish minority who accumulates wealth at the expense of others. Leaders who abuse power and engage in war and genocide. We're seeing that right across the planet right now. Religious systems that marginalize women and promote disparity and segregation. That word segregation is very important. Governments that fail and separation, segregation and separation. Governments that fail to provide the fundamental pillars of free health care and free education. Now this, you go on to talk about Lila, who is the girl that Michael, who's the messenger from Spirit, falls in love with, and they have a relationship. And you talk about spiritual helpers. Tell us about the spiritual helpers, the messengers, the guardians, the ascended people, the overseers. all these wonderful people.
Well, it
souls,
starts with
I mean energy
leaving.
Souls.
Sure. When I was really young, I was seeing these beings walk around me, these beings of light, and I could see them as clear as day, like other people see humans. And I wasn't aware of it at that stage, you know, what it was, and no one was guiding me. But as time went by, I started getting more guidance. I started having radical clairvoyant experiences. When I was meditating, I once saw a silver dot in the distance, which then spiraled toward me and exploded in my third eye. And then when I finally traveled the world and met these different teachers, I met some amazing shamans in Peru. Again, apex teachers. They were not doing retreats. They're not available to the general public, and they're very secretive. But they taught me how to hone and refine my skills, which is the first time I had a real spiritual mentor at the level I was looking for. And the result of this is they honed my ability to actually walk in these worlds, to, and I know it sounds probably far out for a lot of people, to able to leave my body and walk in different dimensions. And this is amazing because some of the beings are crossing over these sort of thresholds. I call them angels, for example. They come from a very high realm of love and light. And I wrote about this in that book you're reading, which is an awesome book. I love that book so much, In They Walk Among Us. And these angels will come down and try to help humans, help humanity in different ways, help cultures, help create a change in this earth and so forth. And obviously, there's free will involved and so forth. But what's exciting is, instead of waiting for these beings to come to you, if you're acting in a way that I call shamanic, in other words, you're a shaman, and you can walk in these different worlds, then you can go to these beings in other dimensions that maybe are not coming to you.
Stephen, our childhoods may have been a little challenging because we had all these gifts and we didn't know. Other people didn't have them. I thought everybody had them. So, you know, when I would answer a question that a teacher asked, and she would say, Cheryl, I didn't even ask the question yet. Why are you answering it? I didn't know that other people were not functioning the way I was or you are. And now that we know, everybody's on a different level, a different journey, a different life path, but we're all beings of love and light and eternal source. So it's beautiful that we've done so much and traveled and learned and shared with gratitude all the gifts that we have. And I want to thank you, Stephen Shaw, author of Divine Love and They Walk Among Us and many other books, for sharing an intense journey through time and space shared with divine guides, messengers, guardians, angels, and all seekers who go within to reveal the truth of our human and divine nature, and in the process are only finding greater love, compassion, healing, truth, and well-being. To learn more about discovering yourself and the light beings who share, guide, and walk with us in heaven and earth, go to I Am Stephen, Stephen Shaw.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have explored the energies of light beings, ourselves, the universe, in order to know with certainty that life is a miraculous journey, revealing the many mysteries of heaven and earth, and opening our minds and hearts to the infinite possibilities to create our own life story and our journey and improve the human condition, as well as protecting and healing earth as we work cooperatively as those in spirit who guide us to discover through the challenges of a physical life that we each are unique and divine. In his book, They Walk Among Us, Lila, one of the main characters, says, "Do you realize that we are surrounded by angels? Each of us has a guardian, and the messengers regularly come and go. On top of that, who knows how many angels have fallen and still walk among us each day? They walk among us," says Michael. Lila responds, "Yep, like air beings, invisible and everywhere, as if in the air around us. So many subtle and hidden influences. I guess we are not alone after all. How does that change anything? We still have to make choices and live our lives. We are creating our reality. We are choosing our adventures, and we will continue until we blend with love and then enter the light." Stephen and I would have you know that for all of us, those in spirit and souls here on earth, that life is a series of stories that we create in order to learn about love. It really is that simple and that profound. And we, in one way or another, all move towards that realization. And it is marvelous. And Stephen likes to say, the secret to living is giving. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website and read about and listen to leaders in the metaphysical, scientific, spiritual, medical, psychological, legal, and arts and music fields share their journeys within and around worlds of hope, love, and intuition to answer all your insightful questions. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.